What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of The Horror Bin. I'm your host, Julian Fernandez. With me today, back on the podcast, good friend, fellow podcaster, fellow comedian, great writer, it's Paige Wesley.
Yay! Thank you.
Paige, welcome back to the show.
Excited to be here.
Yeah. Today, we're not, today's a bit different. We're not doing one specific movie. This is something we're going to try out called, we'll figure out the name eventually.
We are going to talk about stuff.
I focused more on the concept than I did the name of the concept. Monster fights.
I'm going to go
with that. Monster fights. But, you know, there are tons of monsters, tons of creatures, tons of killers and slashers out in movies and TV shows. A lot of them have different versions of themselves. So today, I know you're a fairly big vampire fan.
I'm a vampire nerd.
You're a
vampire nerd. Sure.
So I thought, what better to start this series off with than vampires? We see tons of them in all sorts of movies and TV shows, and I think there's so many different variations that go by different rules, different powers and abilities, and different styles that I think they're worth trying to figure out who might be the top tier of them all, and who's maybe falling a bit short.
Yeah.
So that's what we're here today to figure out. I told you to think of maybe two types of vampires from movies and TV shows that you think are just the best and two that you think are the worst. I also did the same myself.
Sure.
So, I mean, let's start off with the guests first. I mean, who do you got as top tier?
Well, I think you have to think about, like, what makes a vampire top tier?
I should also clarify what we're looking at, really, which again is like what the, you know, their style, their look, their kills, how they turn, how they they fight, their strengths, their weaknesses, just overall, what are they bringing to the table that like just beats out all the other vampires?
Yeah, and I think vampires tend to fall into like one of two camps, one more popular than the other, because I feel like as much as we consider vampires to be a horror monster, like any monster in our cultural storytelling, they have a basis in some sort of moral reality. So for vampires, it's almost always like sexual promiscuity, liberalism, and a whole bunch of things that people are kind of telling them as a cautionary tale. Mm. A cautionary tale of excess, I think, is the best way to describe it.
Okay.
So you get a lot of vampires that are like romantic. And they're not really scary necessarily as far as power goes. However, on the flip side, less often, but more interesting, we portray vampires as almost animalistic instead.
Mm.
And it's more this idea of like, when the veil between human and animal is no longer present, what traits get borrowed from whom? How, ruthless, how heartless do people become when they turn into what is essentially an animal?
Yeah.
You know, when they no longer seem to have that shred of humanity. And what does that look like as far as something as a becoming a creature and not a human, but it's something that looks human? Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say in terms of like, because like you said, they are like usually like about two types.
Yeah.
But would you say you're, in terms of a preference, whether it be if you were to turn to a vampire or just preference overall in terms of watching them, are you more looking towards like the animalistic or more the kind of refined elusive predator kind of vibe?
I think there's merits to both. And so I have like my top two are like one of each.
Okay.
Where as far as like the romantic vampires, I think Interview the Vampire, the original, or True Blood are your closest to held up as like a romantic and often sexually focused character, but also vicious. Like they do portray them as people who have been alive so long that human life is meaningless to them.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the things that I think True Blood does really well is subverting the gender and sexual orientation binary by being like, these people have been so alive so long, they have sex with everything. They don't care. What is gay? What is straight?
If I live 1,000 years, you bet your ass I'm finishing the Kama Sutra.
They have tried everything. but it's also things like, you know, they'll just run up and rip somebody's spine out and they don't care. Humans are playthings to them. And so I think that's a really interesting thing to see, where in that element, they still retain a little bit more of that humanity because they're trying to pretend to be human. Mm. And so I think those two are some of my favorites. Now, on the other side, when we're looking at just animalistic, 30 Days of Night.
That's one of my picks.
Yes. I love 30 Days of Night.
I remember I listened to your guys' episode talking about it. One of my favorite, I'm not a big vampire fan. Sure. I mean,
they're not very scary.
People can tell I'm a big, more Frankenstein's monster fan. But when it comes to vampires, 30 Days of Night, probably one of the only one of the few vampire movies that legitimately kind of freaked me out.
Yeah.
But then also I was like, but these vampires are fucking dope. They are just straight up just animals.
They're animals. Yes. Yeah. And animals that are fighting for survival in the same way. Mm-hmm. Where like, yes, are they the villains? Air quote, yes. But also you're like, well, just insert polar bears. And it would be the same movie. Like they are animals. Like, it's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do really like I said, 30 Days of Night is definitely one of my one of my two that I picked that I'm like, these are like, this is what I'm looking for. Because I lean more towards I do like more the animalistic side of it. Mm-hmm. I do like more that they are like an ultimate predator kind of creature.
Right.
Never been really a big fan of like, not to get ahead of myself, but like I've never been a fan of the stylistic,
like a Blade vampire.
Yeah,
I love Blade, but I'm not gonna stand here and be like, those vampires are great.
Yeah, there's a funny Key and Peele sketch where it's like this den of vampires. They're all like, all like sexual. Which again, like if you're living 1,000 years, be sexual, sexualize the shit.
So many raves.
But I mean, like you're like all clad in like leather and
shirts,
like just bought out a Hot Topic.
Yes.
The shirt's barely open. Which granted, like I rock that sometimes. But I mean, like, but then there's this, in the sketches, it's just like, yeah, I just became a vampire. Man, what you all doing? Like, what's all this all up on me?
Just eat
each
other.
Relax. What are you doing? You wearing all this leather and stuff, just wear you know what, I kind of just want to wear just whatever,
jeans and a t-shirt, yeah.
And then one member's like, the socks.
Which this is also one of the things I love about What We Do in the Shadows, which I do. Mm-hmm. I feel like comedy vampire is a whole different ball game.
Yes,
because they're not meant to be scary at that point. The premise of What We Do in the Shadows is basically like, what if vampires weren't apex predators?
Yeah,
what if they were kind of dumb? And that's great. I love it, but I love that they just like didn't keep up with the times.
Yes,
so they're just wearing the shit they kept wearing, like as if I just dressed like it was 2002 forever.
Yeah,
like,
which
great.
I mean, nowadays, I mean, that's not too far
around.
Off.
Yeah.
And in terms of like the True Blood and what was the other pick? Interview with the Vampire. Yeah. Interview with the Vampire. I keep it off my list of like favorites, just because it is weird that for them, it's because I think they go more into depth in the TV version.
That
every vampire has like a specific or unique power.
Yeah.
Is that also true in True Blood?
It is to a degree.
Okay.
Where it's in True Blood, it's a little more vague, where it's like some people are good at this, some people are better at that. And it just, you know, it happens. You kind of figure it out as you go along.
Right.
In What We Do in the Shadows, they really lean into that, which I think is really fun because people have to like try out all the powers and find out what they're good at.
Yeah.
Interview, it's... they explored a little bit more. One of the things that I think for me makes Interview more brutal than a lot of people really think about when they first think about it is that they turn a child.
Yeah.
And a child.
Which again, also addressed in What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah. And yes.
In a very funny way.
In hilarious ways. There's a child on the Vampiric Council in What We Do in the Shadows.
It's just a baby.
And it's hysterical. But they turn a child, and children don't have the refined morality of adults. Mm-hmm. Like as a kid, you're growing up, you're learning empathy and context and how that works. So when they turn a child, they basically just make a killing machine.
Yes.
With no remorse. And to think of like what that would be like to, you know, pull any sort of empathy from a human and have them just be small and cute and attractive. Everyone would want to help a little girl, and she's just deadly.
It's just a
predator.
Just a predator that's just constantly hunting and killing and everything. Yeah. And then, you know, within like True Blood and what we do, Interview, they do have that. It's them like living in plain sight.
Yes.
For the most part, living
they're out in the open,
trying to be lavish, living to the mm-hmm. fullest and everything, which again is cool aesthetic. I'm just more for, I love, and you know, that just might be like my overall.
They're two different stories. Yeah. Like there's no better or worse for either of them. I feel like.
And granted, Interview with a Vampire, anything, and especially for the book, I haven't read it, but I think especially for the book, it's not intended to be like, these are monsters and they're going
to. No.
It is intended to be more,
social
more morality,
commentary,
social commentary. 100%. And a bit of romanticizing certain things.
Which I think there is some of that in an animalistic vampire too. It's just a different social commentary, because then it becomes, what if we are no longer the dominant species?
Right.
What happens when something can hunt us? As opposed to zombies that can't really hunt you. They're just around,
yeah.
You know, and if you encounter them, it's a problem.
Yeah,
but
with
vampires
zombies,
can hunt you. Mm-hmm. They are a predator.
They're thinking. They're planning. Yeah. They're hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, like with zombies, like it's more of just they hear a noise. They got to go to it. It's just a
right.
swarm.
Exactly.
Just a mindless swarm. But yeah, I mean that's. That's why I really like 30 Days of Night. Is
yeah.
just that they're at their fullest. Like just no. It's just 100%. Killer predator hunting, looking to eat, and they found like the best place to do it.
Yep.
That's what I really enjoy. And then for my second choice, because your second choice was
30
days.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my second choice, I'm keeping it going with the predator aspect, and it's a fairly new movie, which is Voyage of the Dawn.
Voyage of the Demeter.
I was a Dawn Treader.
classic Dracula, technically.
Yeah, and it's just what I love is it's. Because, I mean, you kind of have to fill in the Dracula spot. And I
right.
do have one for worse, maybe two, for worse. Because, I mean, Dracula's the easy go-to in
sure.
terms of, like, a vampire story. With Voyage of the Demeter, it's literally taking, I think, just a passage of the book.
Yes, literally a paragraph. Like, literally.
Because the whole book is just all journal entries and,
yes.
and letters and everything.
Yeah.
So this is literally, it is the perspective of the entire captain's log of the Demeter. And I love another thing that does it is the BBC Dracula series.
Yes.
It's a mini series. And they do have a whole episode of them on the Demeter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different because Dracula is a passenger on the ship.
Right.
And they're trying to figure out, hey, who's the killer? We all know, as the audience, we're like, well, it's fucking Dracula.
I mean, it should have been the clue that the ship was named the Demeter, God of the Harvest, because he's just killing all of them. But it's a fascinating.
Dracula's all about subtext, guys.
Yeah. It's a bottle episode, if you mm-hmm. think about it, where it's like, you're not on this boat with him. He's on the, like, it's, or I guess he's not on this boat with you. You're on this boat with
yeah.
him. Like,
he's not trapped on this boat. You're trapped on this
trapped
boat.
On
yeah.
This
yeah,
boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And so, what do you do in a place where you can't run away?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's always the thing with horror movies. It's like, well, why don't they just leave? Well, you've created a situation which they can't leave.
And with Voyage, there is a moment, I believe, and maybe I'm making me confused with the BBC Dracula, but there is a moment where I think two people do try to
right.
get on a dinghy and get away. But this Dracula, like I said, is more of a predator.
He's got wings.
You do not see him until the climax.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is flying around. He's using the fog. He's using it at night
mm-hmm.
to hunt and everything. And he's not going to let anybody leave.
Right.
And I believe there's even a moment where they mention like, oh, he waited until a specific time.
Yeah.
To where like the ship will make landfall to eat everybody.
Right. Exactly. So like it'll make landfall. As long as he like budgets out who he's eating,
yeah,
right, yeah.
That's some vampires they meal prep.
Yeah, meal plan. that boat is one giant Tupperware.
Yeah, but yeah, I'd say like that's a good chunk. Like we got a bit of the refined ones
mm-hmm.
that are just living their life. They're you know the refined predators.
Yes,
we got this just straight up predators.
Yep.
Who do have that conscious and that blending in ability, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think they're really up for that.
They're just pure hunters.
And
like,
then we got
great.
The one that does like towards the end of Voyage of the Demeter. That he does. I forget the actor's name, but like the one survivor.
Right.
He's in the tavern and he does notice like, oh, there's a creepy guy in a top hat just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
So this Dracula does have that ability to hang out and do whatever, but also to just straight up be just that.
Just murder people.
Yeah. On the flip side, mm-hmm. What would you say are good examples of bad?
I mean, Twilight. Twilight.
I mean, that's
100%.
The easy go-to. I didn't pick Twilight. It because I knew it.
and here's the thing. Don't get me wrong. I will hate watch some Twilight. I think it's hilarious. And I read all the books and everything too. But
and Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson are doing so much better now.
Oh,
so
yeah. Here's the thing. Everyone in those movies is trying their hardest, including Michael Sheen. And so like everyone's trying their best. It's just they're dealing with the weirdest Mormon vampire mythology ever, where it's like any piece of a vampire that would be overly sexualized or overly violent is cut out essentially and tapered to whatever their narrative becomes.
Was Twilight the fan fiction of 50 Shades or 50 Shades?
Other way around. 50 Shades is Twilight fan
Twilight
fiction.
Twilight inspired by My Chemical Romance.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also Muse. She was super into Muse, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's like this whole like thread that's just mm-hmm. like, oh, when the towers fell, Gerard Butler saw it and then was inspired to start this band, My Chemical Romance, which inspired
Stephanie Myers
to write this book, which inspired so-and-so to create this fan fiction, which turned into 50 Shades.
Yeah. And then Umbrella Academy comes out after, because that's My Chemical Romance, too. But yeah, no, 50 Shades is the, so it actually goes deeper. So there's Twilight, right?
Welcome to conspiracy theories.
Welcome. Twilight, then 50 Shades. Then there's 50 Shades fan fiction. That is fucking insane.
Oh,
but it's my favorite because they made movies out of that too. And it's called 365 Days. And it is Polish, Italian, and any number of other things. It's in like multiple different languages at once.
Yeah.
It is subtitled and dubbed in weirdness. And it's about a mafia boss who kidnaps a lady and like forces her to fall in love with him. And it is basically porn with a weird crime story. And we're two movies into it on Romancing the Pod.
Which sometimes porn is the crime story.
I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone consented in this one. It was like a big budget movie, but like it's bonkers. Yeah. But if you can like trace it back and be like, so that's Bella, that's Edward. It's nuts.
The archetypes are just all there.
The archetypes are there. But I feel like it's, I mean, if you're a teenager and it's your first dipping your toe into something like this, sure, I would say read Interview with the Vampire instead, or Charlaine Harris's Southern Vampire series, which is the basis for True Blood.
Isn't that that one's a comic too, right? Or a graphic novel?
No, that one's just romance novels.
Oh, there's like one.
They're great.
There's like one it's very similar to True Blood. I forget what it's called. I'll look it up and I'll message you later.
30 Days of Night is
that one's based off a graphic novel. But there's specifically one that is like this is. Like it's vampires exist in America.
Oh, interesting.
And that's as far as I remember. But I remember
were,
that
at the time
exists.
That it was like really popular, there was a bunch of them because I read like four or five different versions.
It's weird that there was just a time, and a lot of it I think was around when Twilight started hitting that craze. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when vampires were just like the go-to. Like this is the genre we need to start talking about.
Well, we always or have we need... go-to monsters.
Yeah.
Like
werewolves still haven't had their time.
Werewolves are about to have their time.
Are they?
I think so. Yeah. Potentially. Like, so vampires and werewolves usually coexist. So they usually have common times, but
let's establish this. Martin Sheen, much better as a werewolf than a vampire.
There you go.
Terrible movie, Underworld, but Martin Sheen's great.
So anytime we're in a state of like emotional and political unrest and unrest around consumerism, zombies are popular.
Oh yeah.
That was the case. So if you think about it, Twilight was really popular before the last market crash. That's when it hit its peak. After the market crashed, zombies for a long time.
Really?
If you look at it now, it's really interesting that we've had, as our film landscape has diversified and we get stories from many different people, we have a lot of different folk monsters now that are maybe not familiar to the white cis hetero, you know, familiarity with horror. So that's kind of interesting. There's also a lot more stories right now about grief, horror and grief, which makes sense considering we just came out of a pandemic where a million people died.
Yeah.
So there's also a lot of stories of sickness. Like, I don't know if you saw When Evil Lurks.
That name sounds familiar.
It just came out a few months ago.
When Evil Lurks.
When Evil Lurks. It's an Argentinian film that's essentially about like poisoning people with pesticides.
Oh.
So like there's a whole bunch of movies like that that are more about you having to relate to the uncontrollable parts of your life. And I think it's because people right now feel like they don't have control over a lot of things.
Yeah.
But our monsters always directly reflect what we're going through. So
interesting. I wonder if that's a conscious choice.
I think
or
so.
If it just, okay.
I mean, maybe not like I'm going to do zombies right now.
Hey, the market
right
just crashed. Let's start doing some vampire
movies. But more just
like,
I think people write monsters based on how they feel or
yeah.
write fear based on how they feel. And so that whatever we are fearing, that's what's reflected. And there seems to be a lot of commonality with it. I think sci-fi and aliens are going to have a big comeback because it
yeah.
is the ultimate unknown.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would love to see more alien stuff. For one of my worst picks, I have a Dracula pick, and it's Dominic Purcell as Dracula in Blade Trinity.
Oh God. Blade Trinity though is so
the original Blade series. I love 1 and 2.
Sure.
2 especially, I'm a big Guillermo del Toro fan.
2 is fucking nuts in the best way.
Yes. 3, like you said, is not good.
That's
you got
with
early
Ryan Reynolds too.
Yeah,
right?
Early 2000s Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
So he's not even enjoyable
it's
yet.
Van Wilder.
It's just Van Wilder.
Yeah.
You got Wesley Snipes, who you hear the stories
needs
around
to pay
that production.
The tax bills. Oh, that production was nuts.
Patton Oswalt's there's an interview that Patton Oswalt does where he talks about Blade Trinity, and funniest thing where he's telling everyone to call him Blade.
Yeah,
he's
leaving
only
post-it
communicating
notes.
Through post-it notes.
I love it.
The end scene where he's on the surgical table, he refuses to open his eyes, so they digitally add
yeah,
them
they
in.
They digitally add his eyes in.
And then you read up like what the fuck does this ending mean? Apparently, what the original ending was supposed to be was that the Blade that wakes up is actually Dracula disguised as Blade, and then Blade was in a coma, and then he wakes up the same time.
Got
to go hunt Dracula.
It. Okay.
Did not come across in the movie.
No. Well, that's you also hear the second one, which I love. The second one is absolutely unhinged, but he was absent so often on set that they just use stand-ins and he's facing away from the camera. So if you wonder why Wesley Snipes only has a handful of lines in the second movie, it's because he just full on wasn't there.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I really hope there was a rumor, and granted, like, I mean, it's been through so many rewrites for the new MCU Blade movie.
I'm so excited.
I love that Mahershala Ali is still in it, still
love
doing it.
It.
There was a rumor that, what's his name from The Boys? He got arrested not too long. Anthony Starr. Mm. There was a rumor that Anthony Starr was going to play Dracula in
Ooh,
that Blade
okay.
movie. I would love to see that because one, Anthony Starr kills it on The Boys
right.
as Homelander.
He's fucking terrifying as Homelander. I'm like, you're the scariest kind of villain.
He's, oh my God, he's so good. And I would love to see him. Plus, he's also, he's just like, I'll pull it up right here. He's just a fucking handsome dude.
I mean, can't argue with that.
He, oh my God, like that is like,
I know.
Like, put some things on that. That's,
oh yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
Dracula
yeah.
right there. But yeah, in terms of with Blade Trinity, I mean, it's the combination of all that was wrong with the vampires in the Blade movies.
It's Max Blade.
It's Max Blade. Dominic Purcell. I loved him in Prison Break. That's where I first got introduced to him.
Sure.
But not, it should not have been Dracula.
Dominic Purcell is also in a little known, I guess you could call it vampire. Yeah, I'll call it vampire movie with Henry Cavill.
Really?
Called Blood Creek, where Michael Fassbender plays a Nazi who sold his soul to the devil to become a vampire to continue to live. This is a real movie. I have it on DVD.
Oh, my God.
I can't highly recommend it, but I can kind of recommend it.
If you can find it.
If you want to see Henry Cavill shirtless and Michael Fassbender.
And who doesn't?
Just sucking on his shoulders. Blood Creek.
I'm sold.
Right? I would say another one for contention of worst. Did you ever see Dracula Untold?
Yeah.
That one was the original full boat of terrible.
The
for
original
me.
Start to the Dark Universe.
Yeah, I know.
And then they were like, oh, this was bad. Oh, let's try The Mummy instead.
That Mummy movie is its own brand of bad.
Yeah, we'll eventually probably get to it.
Oof, Magoof.
But yeah, Dracula Untold. The part of me that loves action, it kind of enjoyed it.
Sure.
The bigger part of me that loves horror.
Hated it.
Other than just going to him talking to Charles Dance in that cave. Everything else, it's like their Mummy movie. It's just all action, but no horror, no.
It's basically like an episode of The Witcher. And I mean that,
you're right.
I love The Witcher. I do. Like, I legitimately do. But, like, I'm not watching that for a vampire story. It's literally just like, what if we made The Witcher, but also he's Dracula? Like, that's what they did for a whole 2-hour whatever movie.
And look, I love me some Luke Evans.
Oh, of course. No, that's
not
my problem.
And Dominic Cooper.
I will watch anything with Dominic Cooper. Devil's Double. That movie's amazing.
Preacher.
Oh, Preacher.
Fucking great.
Preacher.
But yeah, it's definitely. Because I even remember working Halloween Horror Nights the year we had that as a maze.
Oh, God. I bet that was the most boring maze.
I never went through
mazed.
It. I think it might have been my first year, too. And I was very adamant about being like, I don't want to go through any of the mazes. I just want to do my job and get out. I just want to work and get out. Now I'll go through all the mazes no matter
what. Of
course. But I do remember because we get like kind of like this whole orientation and walkthrough of like, this is what the concept art is. This is what you expect in every room, blah, 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 blah. And he's going through it and he's talking about scenes that were deleted and characters that aren't in the movie.
That aren't in the movie.
And it's just like, well, what? Why are we doing this? And then you watch the movie and it's just like, this isn't worthy of having a maze.
No, but they needed it. Like, they were banking on it because they wanted that dark, whatever, the dark trilogy.
Which, again, Luke Evans, better than Dominic Purcell as Dracula. But not for this one. That movie was not, no.
Michael Fassbender, Nazi Dracula.
We'll see about that.
If you can find it online, let me know. If you cannot, let me know and I will let you borrow my copy.
I'll hunt it down for sure. I got, for this podcast, I got all the streaming stuff to find some horror.
Write it off.
And then, and speaking of, kind of going back, speaking of Preacher, for my second worst, did I say my first?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Dominic. We literally just talking all about it.
Blade 3.
But,
Blade Trinity.
But for my second would be this one movie. I don't even know when it came out, but it's called Priest.
Oh,
but
yes.
But it's based off, I believe it's also based off a graphic novel with.
I believe so, yeah.
I forget his name, but he plays Vision.
Paul Bettany,
where he plays these characters that are called priests that hunt vampires and it's a war and all
that
this and stuff.
Wild.
But these are like if they were like, hey, let's combine vampires with aliens from Aliens.
Yes.
And let's see how that works. And it does not.
Mm-mm. Well, and this was like right after he had done whichever of the Da Vinci Code movies where he was the creepy monk.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were trying to like,
cash in on the monk craze.
Like, every once in a while you see somebody who plays like multiple of the same character over and over again and you're like, Sean Bean, stop, you don't have to. But like, I feel like this is one of those.
Yeah. And again, Carl Urban, love me some Carl Urban. Ugh. Could not save that movie.
No,
it was dope that he was like a cowboy vampire.
I mean, but I will watch anything that Carl Urban is in mm-hmm. general. So like, you know,
Carl Urban, get to work. Well,
he's on The Boys.
He's on The Boys, but he was just rumored. He got cast in something.
I cannot believe that neither of us mentioned the worst vampire of all time. Morbius.
Oh my God.
It's Morbin time.
You want to talk? Yeah. I mean, we're pretty much running out of time, but sure. If we want to talk about the winner for worst. Yeah. Morbius.
Morbius.
Which I mean,
In the comics, that movie,
it's one of those things I don't understand. Like, that's what I'm so worried about for the Kraven movie.
I still want to see it because I am a straight lady. It's the only reason.
Which, I mean, you look at something, they just had the Spider-Man 2 video, or yeah, Spider-Man 2 video game come out, yes, where Kraven the Hunter is one of the main antagonists.
Right.
I don't have a PS, whatever the number is
now. I don't have a 5 but on Forge, so I haven't been able to play. But I played the ones before that.
I watched the cutscenes, and that is a great...
Sure.
He's a great villain in it.
Makes the Spider-Man games, killing it.
The storyline is perfect. Like, he's dying. He's looking for something that he can hunt that will ultimately kill him,
right,
rather than him dying from a sickness.
Right.
I love that. We're getting off track. Anyway, Morbius sucks.
Morbius. It's no more Morbin time for
no
you.
No more Morbin time. And there's also a clip that I just saw too. Funny enough that we brought this up, where they're talking to Michael Keaton about hey, so what, like, did they tell you about what? He's like, no, they didn't tell me anything. They tried to explain it to me. I didn't understand. I didn't know what was going on. I don't know what I was doing there. But I was there. But
the
no
check
idea.
Cashed, so
yeah. that doesn't tell you like just how bad one that movie is, but also like that worst fucking vampire.
Well, it's they're just trying to keep the rights. Like, they're trying to hold on to whatever rights they can hold on from Marvel's clutches, and so yeah.
But Marvel, come on. Do vampires right. Kill it with Blade. I know you guys are doing rewrites.
I mean, Mahershala Ali, already a great choice.
Yeah.
I'm already on board.
You already got our faith in you.
Yes.
Like, come on. Don't drop that ball.
Don't let us down.
But yeah, like I said, Paige, we're wrapping up here. Thank you so much for being the first.
Thanks for having me.
I think we're going to call it Monster Fights.
Monster Fights.
Monster Fights tonight the Shudder.
Have me back for zombies. I'm a zombie nerd.
We'll make it an hour episode. I can talk about zombies all day.
Yes.
You got your camera right here. Let the people know where they can find you. What you got going on?
Yeah, you can listen to me on Horror Virgin or Romancing the Pod or Cult Podcast. And you can find me and my live comedy stuff at Rampage Wesley on Instagram and TikTok, if that still exists when you're watching this. This was in the past. Yeah. Anyway.
We're in the past. You guys can find me also on all the things, Julian F. Comedy. Follow this podcast on Instagram at HorrorBinPod. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, do all the fun things on YouTube and iTunes. If you're enjoying the podcast, please leave us a review. That helps us get seen by everybody. And if you have a horror movie that you think we should talk about or any kind of topic within the horror genre, let us know in the comments. Let us know in the posts. Get that message to us. And you never know, we might feature that on a future episode. But once again, Paige, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks
as always,
having me.
You're always a delight, always a great guest. And like we say on every episode,
fuck Lucky Charms. Oh, did I do it wrong? I'm so sorry.
Bye.